Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of the Footy LG Pod. I am here with my co-host, as always, Tony, and the three words that TFC fans have been dreading all offseason, MLS is back. And we're going to get all into that at the end of the show. Tony, I know we got, you know, TFC kicking off this weekend, so we got a lot to get into regarding our outlooks for the season, what we think's going to happen, and even just kind of going over that game this week, because you know what? Tough game to start the season for Toronto. We'll get into that more. Why don't we start with a little Champions League, because it's gone on the past 2 weeks. Last week we recorded early because we had a guest on, so we have to talk about the 2 weeks that was with Champions League games. I mean, really the biggest upset. There was two big upsets each week. First week, you want to talk about the big one right off the bat, the Bayern-Lazio game?
Yeah, that's Lazio. And Immobile decided to make me look stupid for there, as I clearly said that they were not even going to get close to Bayern Munich, even after Bayern got thumped by Leverkusen. But Thomas Tuchel just continuing to sink this Bayern ship.
I mean, Upamecano didn't help him with that red card, and then another red card this past weekend too in their game. He, you know, it's tough. And Tuchel, it looks like today he will be stepping down at the end of the year. Mm-hmm. So a lot of coaches down. You know, Klopp is out at Liverpool.
So that's the rumor I read, is that Bayern's first hope is Xabi Alonso.
Yeah.
If not, it'll be Klopp that comes in after as a second option. So
both are good options. So, I mean, but it's tough, you know. And I believe I did say on the pod last week that if there was going to be an upset, you know, you got to bet against Harry Kane because the guy doesn't win trophies.
Yeah. And it's crazy how this is happening. Him and Eric Dier join Bayern, and they just fall off.
It's insane. Kingsley Coman, I think, has won a trophy every year he's played. Yep. Harry Kane has never won a trophy every year he's played. So it's the battle of who's either the better winner or loser. And right now it looks like it's Harry Kane.
Yeah, it's crazy to see. I mean, I know Lazio's at home, but I know it's off a penalty. But still, like, the standard that Lazio plays at, the quality they play at, Bayern Munich should have easily made work of this. So
yeah, and I mean, to be honest, I think the next leg, I think Bayern should recover from this 1-0. Lost pretty easily, but you never know now, right?
Yeah, exactly. So,
and then the other games that happened last week, I mean, Man City winning 3-1, no surprise there. PSG winning 2-0 at home, no surprise there. The one bit of a shock, you know, RB Leipzig was able to hold Real Madrid and they only lost 1-0. They were at home, but I mean, they did get screwed at the beginning of that game. I don't know if you saw that
that
call that went against them. It was dicey. I don't know, you know?
Yeah, Bayern, I mean, Real Madrid got lucky on that one, because I do think that was a bit of a botched call on the VAR. I really do think that was a goal, but I mean, at the end of the day, it's nothing we haven't seen before. But I think Real Madrid's still in the second half. They still put a lot of pressure on Leipzig, but Leipzig did make it interesting. So
yeah, so you know, I mean, going into the Bernabeu, down 1-0, probably not likely. Mm-hmm. Man City up 3-1 going back home, that's locked. PSG up 2-0 going on the road to Sociedad, that's probably a lock too. Nothing really crazy. And then we got to this week of games, which was a bit more tight than those. So we kicked off with PSV tying Dortmund. And PSV was at home, so you know, Dortmund coming back should have the edge, but you never know. And then Inter with a late winner against Atletico, another good tie that really, when they go back to Atletico, Atletico could easily win 1-0 or more and either force a penalty shootout or just win it alone back home, right? So it could go either way in those two ties, but I feel like.
I'll be honest with you, that Inter team, they looked really good that game. I mean, Atletico is not a bad team. They're having a decent season. But Inter just looked dominant. I mean, there was should have been like 3-4-0. The amount of chances that Arnautovic missed was crazy. But, I mean, that Inter team, I actually saw, just because I saw a crazy stat about Jens Sommer, the goalie, he has 21 clean sheets this year and only 14 goals conceded. So,
why the hell did Man U buy him instead of Onana?
I know. Actually, the tweet I saw was, Man U don't get ideas because it didn't work out last time.
Naturally, you know, so, Onana was unreal last year for Inter, too. Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, it could have gone either way.
You know, Inter, you know what? I don't know if they're punching above their weight, but they have a lot of players right now playing at
Yeah, but you know, only
at crazy
only a 1-0 lead at home going into Madrid in their next leg. That's going to be tough. That's going to be a good game.
It will be tough. Yeah, it will be tough. But I think the way they've been playing this year, they should be able to get out of there.
Yeah,
and get into the quarterfinals.
We'll definitely have to see on that. And then, I mean, the two remaining games that took place today, since we're recording on the Wednesday, my team played, Tony, your team played. One of our teams did a bit better than the other. Both of them at home. Napoli, unfortunately, not able to secure the win. They tie Barca 1-1. Goals by Lewandowski and Osimhen. And then on the flip side, my Porto upset Arsenal in the 94th minute with a goal from Galeno. I mean, two great games. Two very good battles. Napoli is now going to have the task of going into the Camp Nou and or whatever it's called now. Spotify presents the Beatles introducing Camp Nou, whatever the fuck it's called. They got to go in there and win, and or tie, and then win in the penalty kicks. What are your thoughts on that?
You know what? This is a lot better result than I expected after the firing of Mazzarri. So this is our third coach now. Calzone did have a previous relationship with this team as he was assistant to Sarri and Spalletti before taking the Slovakia job. So he knows the players. He's very familiar with them. And you know what? He did pretty well. I think at times, especially the first 20 minutes of the game, Barca was really pushing and making Napoli not look so good. But as the game went on, you can see that Napoli was playing better. The goal that Lewandowski scored, it's just a stupid mistake. You know, leaving a guy like him alone in the box, he's going to score 9 times out of 10 from there. But you know what? They played decent. And my favorite part of the thing was just that the coach, you know, when Kvaratskhelia was playing bad, he took him out. And when, you know, he was already playing on taking Osimhen out, but he scored. But it's just one of those moments that, you know what? You have both of those guys have not been playing at the level they should have been for this team, so they do need a bit of a wake up call. So I have a little bit of hope heading into that second leg because Barcelona, we've seen countless times this year, not very good.
That's true. You know, you can't count Napoli out. I mean, Barcelona's Barcelona. At the end of the day, no matter what's going on, they're always going to be a team that's tough to face in these scenarios at times. So, but you're right. I think Napoli could very well go into the Camp Nou and at least get a draw. Potentially even get a win to move on to. I think that's going to definitely be one of the big games to watch in the next legs, which I believe is beginning of March.
Yes, March 5th.
Yeah, 6th, I think it's only 12th, I think it's 13th. Only a week break. So next week we're breaking, but then we're back the following week. So that'll be a good game. And let's talk about the Porto Arsenal game. Mm-hmm. I saw a meme that was Diogo Costa, the goalkeeper for Porto, on the phone. He's like, "Hey babe, what do you want for dinner tonight?" And his girlfriend says, "Aren't you at a Champions League game right now?" He goes, "Nah, don't worry. We're only playing Arsenal." So we have time. They got zero shots on target.
Like, the crazy thing is you got these Arsenal fans going crazy saying, "Give us Inter, give us Real Madrid." And it's like, for what? Because you couldn't get through Porto. Like, no offense to Porto.
I'm taking all offense. I mean, what do you mean? We're a bigger club than Man City.
You guys called me delusional last week.
How many Champions Leagues do we have compared to Man City? I think we have double.
Yeah, that's fair. But, I mean, it's crazy to see because Arsenal, I mean, they have been playing really well lately. I mean, they have been, I think it's like 3 games in a row that they've scored 4 or more, if I'm correct. Yeah, 3 games. So 2 games in a row, they scored 5 or more, then they had 3 against Liverpool. So they've had a great month. So this is it was shocking to me. Because I wasn't watching this game. I watched, obviously, the Napoli one. But when I saw the score, I was very shocked.
Yeah, it was, you know what? Possession-wise, they dominated. They really did everything they could. They just did not have anything in that final third. And you know what? It's crazy to see. And I saw someone post about this, too, where it's like, this is probably the best Arsenal team we've seen since the Invincibles.
Yeah.
And they're not going to win any trophies for it that matter. No Champions Leagues, no league titles. Like, it's crazy to think about how good this team is to just come away with nothing. Yeah, and right now, it looks like that's what's going to happen. I mean, do I think, realistically, the next leg at home, Arsenal can't beat Porto by 2 or more goals? Yeah, they could. But it's also Arsenal, and I wouldn't be surprised if Porto can pull off a tie.
Playing Porto on the road in Champions League is not easy. That's a tough stadium to get a result in.
Well, and they proved especially that today, right? Porto won 1-0, right? So so going back home for the second leg, I think they should be able to get a result. We'll see. I hope not. I hope Porto can hang on and draw them, because you never know what happens in one game, but it'll be tough.
Well, the crazy thing is, just looking at their schedule, this next month, I mean, their next three games are all winnable: Newcastle, Sheffield, and Brentford. But then after that Champions League game, they get Chelsea and City right after. So you're talking about if they're not successful against Porto, they have a winnable game against Chelsea, but that they have by the end of March, we'll know if Arsenal is real or not, right?
And that time frame will probably be when the next legs start too, right?
Yeah, more than likely the first week of April.
If they make it through. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens there, but I don't know. It's been some good games. It's got some good games going into the second legs. I mean, like I said, the Porto Arsenal battle is going to be huge. The Napoli Barcelona one's huge. I think the Inter Milan, Atletico is going to be a big battle too. The other games, not so much, but should be a good second legs. I'm excited.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of good games. I think, obviously the first one, PSG and Bayern are probably going to just make it work. So. I mean, but like you said, the Inter, Atletico, Barca, Napoli, those are two games that it's still to play for there. So it'll be interesting to see.
Yeah, it should definitely be good. But, you know, let's get into some top bins, trash bins before we go too long without discussing the MLS, because you know we got to go there soon. So yeah, let's get into some top bins, trash bins.
So it started off, not last week, but the weekend before, the Asian Cup officially ended, and Qatar beat Jordan 3-1 in the final with three penalties given to them. But that's not the top bins part. The top bins is Hakim Afif's after his first penalty, his celebration afterwards, and he did a magic trick celebration. Top bins, trash bins.
What was the magic trick? Convincing people that the game wasn't rigged?
No, it was actually took my mind off it a little bit, because it was just a card trick that he does. It was actually really cool that he pulled that off. So
I'll have to look into it. Sounds pretty cool. Yeah, I'll top bins. If it's a cool magic trick, I like magic, so I'll always give that a top bins. But, I mean, three penalty kicks, come on.
Yeah, dude, it wasn't even funny. Like, it was crazy to see when I saw that score. I'm like, wow. So, you know what? I guess they paid for all the rigged World Cups. They have to keep paying them, right? So,
yeah, exactly.
All right, the second one, we're going to head over to Turkey. Obviously, Beşiktaş has a very, very tremendous pretty messed up week. A lot of interesting things happen. Short form, this is not the top ends, but Vincent Abubakar, if you're wondering why he hasn't been playing for Beşiktaş lately, is because he got a hair transplant and he's refusing to play because he can't head the ball. So that's one. Yeah. So it's come out that's why he's been missing games. So Beşiktaş is dealing with that. And now news broke out of Beşiktaş that they have canceled the contract of Emirhan Delibas because he has a dating profile on Bumble or Tinder. I'm pretty sure it's Tinder. So they canceled his contract for that. Top ends, trash bins for Beşiktaş letting Abubakar stay and canceling the other guy's contract.
First off, Tony, you've sent me some questionable videos on TikTok where it's facts that aren't true at all. Yeah. How true is this Abubakar hair transplant thing? Because that's fucked up. There's no way that's true.
I heard that. I don't know how true it is, but what was said was that he didn't obviously go to the African Cup of Nations. He flew to Paris because Turkey does a break as well for the winter. He flew to Paris, and obviously part of the point of the hair transplant is that you have to let it heal. And he hasn't been playing lately. So whether it's true or not, I don't know, but.
Yeah, I'm going to have to call bullshit on that. There's no way that's true. That would be the most insane story. He'd be fired right away. But yeah, if that's true, then big trash bins from Beşiktaş for allowing us to keep him and canceling the other guy, which was
a the other guy. Ridiculous. I don't understand what the point of. The point is that get rid of him.
Yeah. Yeah. That's brutal. Trash bins. There's no way that's true, though. There's no way.
Yeah. There's a few articles actually about the Abubakar.
Nah, I'm calling false on that. It's from the Daily Mail, probably. I don't believe any of that unless it comes from Fabrizio Romano's mouth himself.
Sports Brief has it there saying his exclusion was rumors of him leaving due to the hair transplant procedure. So I don't know. I mean, crazy that – I mean, the other guy, I don't know what he did wrong, but like, this guy's just trying to get laid out here, and he's getting kicked off the team. And the final one, obviously, as many of you listeners know, Nico and I are big Kanye fans, and one of his songs, Carnival, has the Inter Milan Ultras singing pretty much the chorus on it. And during his Champions League game yesterday with Atletico, he showed up to the game, obviously wearing his normal Kanye West attire. And AC Milan decided to troll it by saying, look at the celebs that came to our stadium today. And he said random people walked in with the same mask as Kanye and kept saying, like, Dua Lipa and every other different kinds of celebrities. Toppin's trash for this AC Milan's troll game.
It's unreal banter. I mean, they're like, everyone's like, oh, we got Kanye West in the house. And it's literally just, it is him, but I mean, he's wearing a full mask. You can't tell. So yeah, why not? Just fucking throw out your full mask. Hey, we got Tom Cruise coming. I was like, Dua Lipa. Like, it's absolutely. I think the other one was Gerard Depardieu, which killed me.
Who's that?
I don't know, but there's this thing in New Girl about Gerard Depardieu that always makes sense. He's a French actor, but oh my goodness, it was so funny. So no, that was all killing me. I think it was hilarious by AC Milan. Chop Bins, great shit talking. Like, this just shithousery at its absolute finest. So that's a Top Bins for me.
Yeah, I actually enjoyed it. It made me laugh. Because at first, when I first saw it, I was like, oh, Dua Lipa. And then I saw the mask, like, oh, okay, never mind. Because I was expecting, like, her to turn around and see her face, but
yeah,
it was just a mask.
Oh, man, that's too good. But hey, it's time.
Yep.
We got about 10, 15, 20 minutes to talk about some MLS is back. Kickoff season this week, we got Toronto FC taking on one of the biggest surprises of last year, FC Cincinnati, in Cincinnati. I mean, before we get into this game, why don't we talk about Toronto FC and what we see happening this year? Tony, what are your thoughts on this upcoming season for Toronto FC now that it's a week away?
So, you know me, I'm not a huge betting guy in the sense I don't make many bets, but I am looking at that plus 8,000 and thinking that is way too high for them. I think they deserve a little bit more credit. I think John Herdman during preseason put them up against some very good teams in MLS quality. And they came out with, a 2-1-1 record. And their only loss came off an own goal. So they've been playing very well in preseason, and I don't think it's going to be as bad as last year.
I mean, it can't be.
It can.
Well, no, it can only be just as bad. It can only be just as bad. It can't be worse.
It can be worse.
How?
There's always the opportunity. We can finish actually. Like, it just.
We were fucking dead last year. We're the biggest laughing stock in the league. It could not get worse.
We could lose even more, but. I don't think it'll be that as bad as it was last year. I think we will make a playoff team. We'll be a playoff team. And I think if the key really is going to be if John Herdman actually has Insigne and Bernadeschi playing the way he says they are in their commitment, which is what I keep seeing from both of them speaking and then even Herdman talking about them. Because their quality reality is they have some great quality there. They, on their day, they can be fantastic players. In a league like this, they should easily dominate.
Yeah.
And if Herdman can find that rhythm with them, like he did with Team Canada, where he pushed them in a way to convince them to play better, then I don't see why we can't be a much better team.
So I know you saw that plus 8,000 thing on Twitter because someone tweeted that out. So actually on FanDuel right now, if you wanted to bet Toronto FC to be the Eastern Conference winner, excluding playoffs, so I think that means they come first in the East in the regular season, it's at plus 20,000.
Wow.
$5 pays out 1,000.
That's crazy.
Of course I've done that. Debating to put more. Here's what pisses me off right now, and it's starting to get on my nerves. I've been saying it now for the past few weeks that, you know, with all the negativity, I think we're going to surprise people because really we have no reason not to. But Everyone's saying these are their arguments why Toronto, get ready for the same season last year, get ready for this. We didn't make any improvements. Yeah. This is the same team that going into last season, people were saying we could win the MLS Cup.
Yeah.
But they didn't make any movements. We saw them last year. Yeah, you know what? We were shit last year. The players didn't show up. Insigne didn't show up. Bernadeschi didn't show up. Nobody could score a fucking goal. This is the same team. Correct. Different coach, but different philosophy.
Yeah, the toxicity of the Bradley situation, too.
It's gone. Exactly. So, I mean, when people say you didn't add anyone new, well, why the fuck did they need to? The same team last year, people are saying we're going ahead. And now we've gotten a new center back this week.
Healthy Osorio.
A healthy Osorio. I mean, we got the number one draft pick Spicer coming in. Mm-hmm. And it looks like we're getting one more player because we made a trade today with Montreal for an international spot. So we're
bringing in someone else. That, the guy on LAFC, Bedoya, Boboya or something like that. He was a striker for LAFC.
Alejandro Bedoya?
Yeah, supposedly he was. No, not Alejandro Bedoya. Oh, man. Can't think of his name. I saw the tweet.
Well, it better not be anyone that played for LAFC, because the last time we did that was fucking Adama Diomande, and now we're paying that fat bitch so much money to sit on our fucking bench.
But no, he's a good player, because the rumors are he was one of the tryless players that played in the last game.
Oh,
I can't think of his name now. But, you know, and then to go on the point of that defender they brought in, we've said it countless times on this pod that very successful signings in MLS has been players from lower leagues, like Kevin Long did from, you know, he played championship soccer with Birmingham. And it's not because the quality is not great, but he can just handle the riggedness of MLS. Because reality is, some of these big names aren't used to the way people play here. And you're coming from lower divisions in England, you're used to the physicality, you're used to the craziness of it. So I think he may, I don't like his age. I mean, 33 is, for me as a center back for a team that's in a rebuild, is a bit old, but I think he will fit in pretty well.
Yeah, you know, and it's old, sure, but if they play a back three, which I'm thinking they might, you know, you can have an old guy in there like Drew Moore did for us and when he came back. Yep. And the other rumor is there's a defender out of Sao Paulo that we're bringing in, which I heard could be a spot too, Ithalo, who's a 19-year-old Brazilian kid, right? So it counteracts. You get the old, you get the young, and you hope they meet somewhere in the middle.
Yeah, he's never played a professional game, though. He's only played with the U-20 teams.
Yes, so
in Sao Paulo.
Exactly. So, I mean, who knows how well that turns out, but maybe it does.
I mean, last time we got a defender from Sao Paulo, I know you weren't a big fan of him, Auro, but
I love Auro was at his moments.
But Anna, the crazy, I think the craziest stat, just because I just popped in my head, but the craziest stat with Auro is at one point during, I forget what year it was, analytically wise, he was the best right back in the league.
Yeah, he was
crazy, blew my mind, because he had his moments.
He fell off.
It worked out once with a loan, and you know, let's give it a shot. I mean, what do we have to lose? I mean, right now our center backs were probably the worst in the league last year.
Yeah.
So, I mean, can't get, like you said, it's, you got to go up. So I don't mind it. I think, the good thing is Cincinnati did lose a lot of players. Brandon Vasquez, obviously MLS MVP, is not going to be there this year. So this would be a big measuring stick for TFC. If they can come out with a result, I think it's going to be a good omen for the rest of the year.
Yeah. You know, it's a tough match to put out first, but you're going to have to win these matches eventually. I'm excited to see how Herdman gets these guys lined up. I did see a quote today from Herdman saying before he took this job, he had talked to Osorio, and he said, if you're not committed to be here, I'm not coming.
Yeah.
He said, I'll take an offer out west, which makes me think maybe he was offered the Portland Timbers job. I don't know. Not speculating here.
Vancouver FC probably. Well, no. It's probably Portland, yeah.
So I'm thinking the Portland job maybe, but, you know, I'm seeing that connection there. You know, they're fostering something good, and TFC to win this week is at a plus 700. That's a big – I mean,
last year
I made a lot of money betting on TFC losses, and it paid out big at the beginning of the season because they were favorite. Now it's going the other way. I might have to bet win-draw because, you know, I could see it happening. This TFC team is going to be different from last year. And I don't see this team being nearly as hopeless as everyone says. I think if Insigne and Bernadeschi buy in, and right now they're saying they are, again, they said they were last year, so who knows what can happen. But if they do, this team will be okay.
I think so. I mean, those two guys alone, if they play at their potential.
If they play at their potential, they could be the best players in the league.
Easy, yeah. And then you mix in a guy like Osorio now. Like you look at last year, Osorio should have been captain last year. Shouldn't have been Bradley. You know, like Osorio.
Well, he was for most of the year when he's played.
Yeah, but like he wasn't the captain, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, you were captain on the field, but you're not the leader on the team. And I think this year he's going to have a chip on his shoulder. I think we're going to see a brand new Osorio that I think will be, you know, the best we've seen yet. I think he's going to be healthy. He's going to do well. It's, you know, if Coelho can step up and start playing alongside Osorio, which is another young talent, I think I don't see it being as negative this year.
Do you think Trialist makes his debut for us on Saturday?
I hope so, because I'm excited to see this guy.
Or his brother, Trialist, that played in the last game.
I still can't, like, dude, just put the guy's name.
What's the thing? Like, I understand what they're doing. Like, they don't want to, like, I don't know why they don't want to let us know who's Trialist, but just to put the starting XI and just put in Trialist as their name is just fucked. I mean, there's another storyline here that I'm kind of itching to see, and it's can DeAndre Kerr, who was really one of our only good players last year, can he keep that going? And if, I mean, if Bernaski and Asinia improve their play, maybe it elevates him even more. And does Iowa Canola, can he do something in this team?
Well, but I think, I don't know, man. Akinola had a lot of chances last year. I know last year you can't base off too much because everyone was just horrible from top to bottom. I mean, you have these guys that, I mean, Akinola doesn't look like he's lost much weight from last year. He still looks pretty bulky. DeAndre Kerr, I think he will have a better opportunity to fill in that role because he did succeed with Insigne and Bernesci not playing very well. Yeah. So I would like to see that. But, I mean, I think you even have this – I forget the South African guy's name. I think he deserves a shot as well. I mean, he didn't get much time last year. And then Prince Owusu, I don't think I screwed up that name too.
Yeah, so we have Prince Owusu. And then we have Cassius Mailula.
Yeah.
That like those didn't really guys, get much of a shot last year.
I think they deserve a fair shot. I haven't seen him play. They haven't been – well, he has been splitting the squads during his friendlies. But, I mean, I think they – like, you have options to try. But I hope Herdman doesn't do what he did with the national team and realize that if the guy's not playing good, you got to put someone else in.
Yeah, so, you know, I mean, again, people are saying we didn't improve this year, but they're forgetting, you're right. You know, at the end of last year, we brought in Cassius Mailula, who didn't do much because he's just new. He's now he got a full offseason, new coach pulling. Same with Prince Owusu. Who knows if one of those two guys can do something at forward? You just need one to hit, right? We also brought in Latif Blessing halfway through the year. You know, maybe he could stabilize that midfield. We also have Deby Flores, that Honduran we signed, too. That's a defensive
midfielder. I've heard good things of him through the preseason games.
Yeah, so, I mean, we do have new players in spots. We also have a year older of Jaquiel Marshall-Ruddy.
Yeah.
Right? We have a year older of DeAndre Kerr, so hopefully they're developing more at a faster pace, too.
And Kosi Thompson, too.
Kosi Thompson's another one. Is he still with us? I know he came back.
Yeah.
Okay, so I mean, we have these guys. We have the talent there. Now it's just, what can this team do? And I am excited this Saturday or Sunday?
2:30.
Oh, here we go. Right when I'm busy. But no, yeah, it'll be exciting to watch. I guess I'm canceling my plans, but I'm watching this game because I am pumped for this team to kick off. And I'm excited to see what we have under Herdman.
You know, and about a month ago or maybe 2 months ago, and I did the that town hall with TFC, I was very ahead of that. I was very negative. And, you know, through our conversations during the preseason, I have started to see, you know what, this does seem different. You know, it just doesn't seem like, I think Herdman has something going here. I don't think we can win. I don't think we'll make a big run in the playoffs, but I do think we're not as bad as everyone is calling us to be bad.
Listen, I mean, I agree with your thoughts, and it's funny because you were the biggest, announced Herdman, you were the biggest, oh no, here we go. But it seems like he's won you over for now. We'll see what happens, obviously, once the season starts. It could easily go downhill quick. I would even go to say he's got a shorter leash than most at the beginning because of what's been there. But you know what? Let's see what he does. I'm excited. Tony, give me your predictions for this Sunday at 2:30 in Cincinnati. What's the score going to be?
I'm going to say 3-2 TFC.
That's bold.
Two goals from Bernardeschi and a goal from Osorio.
That's bold play, man. You know, I'm gonna not be as bold. I'm gonna project a 2-2 draw. I think, you know, Toronto FC's defense is still new. They still need to iron a few things out. I don't know if Long is going to be available this weekend. So if he's not, I think our defense really is still.
Even then, we only
gave Shane up, O'Neill. Like,
we only gave up two goals. Was it two or three goals in four games in preseason?
That's preseason.
But did you see Miami in preseason?
Well, dude, Miami's going to be a bust this year, bro. But who's playing defense for us, though? That's what I want to know. If Long's not there, Rosted.
I'm assuming Shane O'Neill and Mbika.
Well, so Luke Singh played in the preseason too.
I would like to see Luke Singh get more opportunities. I think he's still young. Yeah, you gotta give him a chance.
He fucking sucks. We've given him a chance
like 2 years ago.
And since then he's gone to FC Edmonton and Atletico Ottawa and not been very good there either.
Well, he's gotten play time, so he's got. I think you gotta give him a shot at this point, and then at least give him a game. And then I would like to see Jaquiel Marchessault on the one side, but I have a feeling it's gonna be Franklin and Petred on the wings.
Yeah, I would imagine.
But so. I hope Herdman actually gives Marchessault a chance. Because I think you have potential there to have a big star talent coming here. If he's like we saw it at points last year when he came in. When the team was like down and out, he was like the only one that was running once Larea left, right? So,
yep. All right. So that's TFC. Before we wrap up, Tony, MLS is back. Like I said, give me your prediction. Who's lifting the trophy at the end of the year?
Ooh, that's a tough one. I mean, the easy choice is obviously, rigged for Inter Miami, but I don't think they are going to end up winning. That's a tough one. You know what? I'm going to go with the easy choice, LAFC.
Yeah, I'm going Inter Miami for the sole fact that it accomplishes two things, really. One, I do think it's rigged as well. They want Messi to do well, so you know it's going to be rigged for them. But although if it's not rigged, they're going to have a tough time. But I'm picking them for two reasons. One, that way if they do win, I could say, "Oh, I called it." And if I'm wrong, I'll be fucking happy to be wrong because I fucking hate Inter Miami. So
it's crazy those odds +250, and then LAFC is +800. Like, how can you like? I don't know, man.
It's crazy. It is. Crazy, but you know, here we are. A team, there's a lot of good teams this year, and the funny thing about MLS is really anyone can show up and move fast, right? Yeah, like, you have a lot of teams that, like last year, look at St. Louis, right? So I mean, you have a lot of teams that could just surprise you and come from out of nowhere. And it's exciting to see which those teams will be this year. Could it be Nashville's year? Could St. Louis still keep up their form that they did last year? Does Austin spin it around? Who knows?
I watched the St. Louis-Houston game for the CONCACAF Champions League, and that was actually, for two teams playing their first games of the season, it was a very entertaining game. Like St. Louis has a good team, too. So,
yeah, so it's exciting to watch. I'm very excited for this to kick off and see how the league turns out this year. But hey, as always, let's go TFC. So that's it for us this week, guys. Looking forward to coming back next week and dissecting the game that was on Sunday, TFC versus Cincinnati. And of course, we'll be talking all the other soccer too that there is to talk about. As usual, you can find us on Spotify, Apple Music, at FootyLG, as well as Instagram and TikTok. On behalf of Tony and myself, guys, enjoy the MLS's back weekend, and we'll see you guys next week.